This is KASU Jonesboro. I'm Jonathan Reeves. Joining me in the studios right now is Dr. Gregory Hansen, who's so good to join us. And he tells us every year about what's taking place with the Delta Symposium. And this year, going to be very exciting for the 22nd Delta Symposium with different things that are taking place. Dr. Hansen, thank you so much for your time and welcome to KASU.
I'm glad to be here, Jonathan. I really appreciate the support KASU has had the symposium throughout the years, and it's fun to be here this morning.
It's hard to believe. First of all, it's the 22nd year of the Delta Symposium.
That's right. Yeah, 22 years. And I think it'll work well this year because the theme's representing cultural heritage. So the symposium itself has its own heritage as part of Arkansas State.
Now, tell us about how you came up with the theme for this year, representing cultural heritage.
Every year we do a little debriefing of the previous year's symposium and get an idea of what was working out pretty well. And then during that time period, we think about what we can do to build up from what we had done in years past. And we'll have our committee get together and come up with some different ideas. And we thought cultural heritage would be interesting this year because of the tie-in with our heritage sites in Arkansas and also the Heritage Studies PhD program. And the way that heritage can cross a lot of disciplinary boundaries, it could be something a poli-sci person could be interested in. It could be interesting to historians, interesting to people in literary studies. Any area like that suddenly gets interested in heritage. And I thought that the idea of representing cultural heritage would also tie well with our film festival, the Film and Media Festival, because there's an element of representing and taking a sense of what's in the community and putting it on film and media that becomes a form of representational culture, but also that ties into a whole heritage angle that's pretty interesting. So we chose that idea of cultural heritage to bridge a lot of boundaries between discipline and also to connect the film festival with the Delta Symposium itself.
You know, and that has been an additional part of it, I guess, of the excitement around the Delta Symposium is to have the Delta Flicks Film and Media Festival around that. Tell us how that worked by way of all that, you know, kind of being blended and held together last year.
Last year we did that with Dr. Michael Bowman, and he came up with the idea of initiating a film festival. And we thought that that would work real well with the theme of the South goes to the movies. So that was a lot of fun. I think that worked out well in terms of different papers and presentations about movies made in the Delta and about the Delta, but then also connecting with actually having filmmakers from the area come in. And we thought that partnership worked out so well that we wanted to continue it, that the idea of representation of heritage seemed to be a natural, especially with documentary films and videos in the South. So it's been a nice partnership. And this year, we've got a little bit more of the two events blended together. There's less concurrent presentations between the Delta Symposium and the film festival. So what will happen is after somebody sees a panel maybe completed on Wednesday, following our panel presentations, there'll be media presentations from Delta Flicks opening up. And then we've also taken some of the media artists and photographers, and we've blended them into Delta Symposium panels. So they really do run together that way. So I think there's a better integration of it in the way that that's put together.
That's fantastic. So it all starts on April 13th and runs through April the 16th. Kind of tell us about some of the things that will be taking place over those couple of days.
Okay. We do a number of paper presentations, and a lot of the papers that are read can be picked up in publication. It's pretty common to have a few of the papers then presented in the Arkansas Review, the journal that our English department publishes. So throughout the event, there'll be these kinds of presentations. We also are doing a lot of things toward media presentations as part of it. We've got a lot of photographers this year who sent in really interesting presentations and ideas of what they want to do. So I've got two panels of photographers showing their work. Beverly Byes will be here. She's a really acclaimed photographer from Hot Springs, and she's going to be having an actual exhibit of her work in the library up. That'll be going up early April, and it'll be up most of the month, but then she'll talk about her photos from the Delta as part of that. Our own Tom Moore is a photographer. He's with Arkansas State, and he'll be part of that panel. And then Gabriel Tate, who's in the communication department, teaches photography there. So that should be a pretty exciting presentation. And then we have another group of photographers coming in the next day on the Thursday, and it'll be a second photo panel. And we'll have a poet, John Zhang, who's also a photographer, and he'll represent some of his images as that one. And then some other photographers, one from LaGrange, Georgia, R.S. Williams, and a French photographer who lives in France but spending a lot of time in New York now, Jacques Moret Bichamp. I guess we pronounce it Beauchamp. Living in Florida out here, it always is Beecham.
Right, so right.
I guess the French would say Beauchamp. But he'll be doing a presentation of some of his work on the blues. There's a real interest among a lot of French scholars in the blues and American culture, so we're glad to have him as part of it. There'll also be a featured French panel coming up of people who've looked at some of the literature of America and have written about that, and they'll be presented here, which should be pretty exciting. That panel is going to be a featured panel on Thursday at 12:30, and Yana Durow, who's at the university in France, will be presenting as part of that, and Wayne Neri has helped to organize that, and we've got support from the MBA online program to make that possible. They're real interested in helping out and contributing to the success of the symposium and bring in the international flavor this year. So I think that should be exciting to see both international interests in our culture, but also grounding it with a strong sense of the region of the Delta itself.
Fantastic. And one of the things you were talking about was, you know, like when you started this interview, you were talking about the different focuses on like the different heritage sites and other things, you're kind of blending all that in there. Kind of tell us about some of those things as well, because I'm looking through some of the different panel sessions, different forums you're going to have here. Really is going to be a fascinating look at the Delta and those sites.
Right. One of the things that'll happen is that there's an interest not just in doing the research on the history and the culture itself. It's also an interest in heritage and how that gets represented, the impact of that. So we've got the heritage sites that Ruth Hawkins and company has put together at Arkansas State, and that's a real interest in how that plays out as a part of the history and the representation of identity in the area through different sites like the Dice, Johnny Cash Boyhood Home, and the Tyronza Museum with the Southern Tenant Farmers Union. And we've got an element of that coming out of looking at representation. Dr. Ed Sallow, who is our historic preservationist, and myself will be presenting on historic preservation and cultural conservation in country music. So that's one of the things that will come out. Ned's going to look at the idea of how the music is connected to the tangible cultural heritage in terms of preserving the site of Johnny Cash's boyhood home, mm-hmm. and the Dice community itself. So he's going to do a presentation on that. And I'm going to look at the more intangible cultural heritage, which is more of the things that you would be very much related to performance and the expression of art and music and things that wouldn't necessarily be leaving a tangible material culture trace. And I'm looking specifically at Bluegrass Monday.
Oh, okay. Yes.
And my interest in that is that the intangible representation of bluegrass as a form of intangible cultural heritage is very linked to the historic preservation interests, that you simply wouldn't have the success of buildings like the Collins Theater in Paragould and be able to preserve that if you didn't have a real vitality in the interior space of the building. And I think one of the most vibrant and vital uses of the building is Bluegrass Monday. And I'm glad to incorporate what KSU is doing to connect what goes on the airwaves with the performance space every fourth Monday in the Collins Theater with bluegrass music itself. And to me, that's the kind of connections that I think will come out a lot, is the idea that it's not just about the idea that there's bluegrass music in the Delta, but it's doing some really interesting things to preserve the quality of life, support a sense of community connections, and then ultimately support the tangible heritage in the areas like preserving old buildings and neighborhoods.
Fantastic. Dr. Gregory Hansen joining us here on KASU as he's talking about the Delta Symposium. Kind of tell us about, we've got some keynote presentations, keynote speakers in that as well. Kind of tell us about some of those special presentations as well, if you don't mind, please.
Sure. On Thursday in the evening, starting at 6:15, we've got a special forum on museums and the idea of heritage. And we got a grant from the American Folklore Society this year to bring in some folklorists who work with the museum program, or actually it's with the Program of Folklife and Cultural Heritage through the Smithsonian. These are some really interesting folklorists who've done some important work, including producing the annual Smithsonian Folklife Festival that draws in over 1.5 million visitors each year to the mall in Washington, D.C. And they do a lot of museum education coupled with their program. And Betty Belanis, Jim Deutsch, and Marjorie Hunt will be doing a forum at 6:15 on that Thursday to talk about how the work that they do as museum professionals is connected to representing the culture to the public and also educating teachers and students about getting engaged in their own history and culture in their own backyard, and then figuring out ways to present that to the public to make it meaningful. We can find really interesting things in any community, and they're going to focus in on the idea of paying attention to resources that are oftentimes overlooked right in your community, and figuring out ways that that ties into the bigger picture of history and culture within a region. So that's what the panel's going to focus on. And we're especially gearing that toward people who want to work in museums or already are working in museums to come in and connect with professionals and to draw people throughout the region together to build a sense of collaboration of how these different heritage sites have ultimately the same mission, and that they're presenting and interpreting that history and culture in ways that really can provide some good connections between people. So I think that will be a really interesting panel to see. And they're real creative and really interesting and just really, really great at what they do. That session will be followed by a featured film that's connected to the Delta Flix Film Festival. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Marjorie Hunt has directed a number of very strong films, and she's going to show her film The Grand Generation, and she co-produced that with other filmmakers, she co-produced that with Paul Wagner, and Marjorie and Paul have worked together with collaborate on a number of films. They actually worked with the old 16-millimeter film and did flatbed editing and all that kind of very 20th century technology in some of their earlier films.
Right.
And she's producing a number of other media now. The Grand Generation is a film that deals with the elderly. And what she and Paul Wagner did was to go interview older people from a variety of backgrounds and experiences and get them to tell their stories and reflect on the idea of their life's work and aging. And I think that that's a really important film because we oftentimes overlook the resources of elderly people, mm-hmm. and we overlook the wealth of experiences they have to contribute to our understanding of life in a community. There's an African proverb that says, when an old person dies, it's as if a library had been burned to the ground. And I think we've got these living repositories of wisdom, mm-hmm. and that really comes out in that film. And to hear Marjorie talk about it and screen it, I think really puts the human angle on the idea of heritage.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that I would agree with that, that proverb that you just mentioned, because it's almost like every person is an oral history.
Right.
And if you were able to get that information from that person, what a wealth of knowledge that you would have.
Right. Yeah, they're the memory of a community.
Yeah.
And there's important contributions that kids and young people make, but there's a legacy of the past of someone who's maybe 80, 90 years old to talk to and to get their accounts of things that have happened and look at the changes that have taken place over the last 100 years. It's just amazing to see what's there, that it really puts that human connection to history. So I think this one really calls attention to the need to pay attention to the memories that are part of an area, and that it's ultimately the people who are preserving the history and memories, and that they're the ones who are really embodying the living heritage of any community.
Fantastic. Well, so that's going to be taking place as part of the Delta Symposium. A lot of great things are taking place here on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and even on Saturday. And you made mention already of some of the things that are taking place on Saturday as well. But everyone really gets excited about how this thing kind of concludes on Saturdays.
On Saturday, we're continuing with something that we started last year called Dylan Day.
Yes, yes.
And that came about from Dr. Francis Hutter in our English department, who's just published a collection of essays and articles on Bob Dylan called Professing Dylan. So that was in press last year. Now it's out. And we decided to showcase some of the scholarship of people who've contributed to our volume. And there's been such interest in it, we decided to do it again this year. So we'll have two sessions on Bob Dylan, beginning at 8:30 and concluding at 12:30. And it should be an interesting variety of elements of pop culture and Dylan's contribution to history. And it's interesting to look at the way that Bob Dylan has a real connection to the Delta. You wouldn't think of that because he was born in Minnesota and spent a lot of time in New York, and mm-hmm. just doesn't seem that what's a Dylan Delta connection. But it's really there. In fact, he says that the music that's most influential in his own music is the music of the Delta, and especially Delta blues. And you can hear it that throughout a lot of the major work that Bob Dylan's produced, there's a strong, even overt, mention of the blues as part of it. And you can kind of just go down the list and you see the blues is showing up in unexpected places in the music of Bob Dylan.
Wow.
So that should be exciting.
Exactly. Blues where you least expect it, I guess.
Yeah, somebody should do a radio program with that title, don't you think?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So that's going to be taking place there. And everyone, a lot of people really are excited about the Roots Music Festival that takes place there to kind of wrap things up on Saturday.
That's right. I like the way that Arkansas Roots, the Noontime Radio Show, mm-hmm. has connected with this. And I think what we'll have is a chance to hear a lot of Arkansas musicians with the Arkansas Roots Music Festival at City Water and Light Park. Most of the musicians are from Arkansas this year. We decided to really showcase that. And the Last Chance Jug Band has a lot of Arkansas connections. It's based out of Memphis. Dr. David Evans, a really major ethnomusicologist, mm-hmm. leads that band. And they're going to do the kind of proto-blues, pre-blues, jazz, ragtime, a whole range of genres that's connected to the jug bands that were real popular in Memphis, especially by the 1920s. And he's really a lot of fun to hear, and he presents a lot of the hokum blues that is just very clever, witty lyrics, and they're going to be a lot of fun to listen to, so I'm glad to have them come through. But the other bands are all Arkansas-based. Lucius Spieler's blues band's coming in. He's performed as a solo artist, and we enjoyed him so much that we decided to invite him to come back with his whole blues band. So he's a real major contributor there. And wonderful bluegrass band called Runaway Planet. And Runaway Planet's based out of Little Rock, and they do the more progressive bluegrass style. So you can see a lot of connections between bluegrass, blues, country music, rock and roll, rockabilly. That's sort of under the surface of the Roots Music Festival this year. And real excited to have KSU be a co-sponsor of that and really support the music festival, because it's been a real wonderful way to end out the Delta Symposium. There's no charge for it, and people like to come out and just bring a blanket and a picnic lunch and hang out at City Water and Light Park.
And that's one of the things about it, is that, you know, all of these events we've been talking about, they're all open to the public.
Right. Free and open to the public. That's what we try to do with everything. And I think it's important because it helps to have people who are in the community come in and connect with what's going on, with the interests in scholars and students and artists and people throughout the region, or people with just an interest in the region. And we really want to make it available to anyone. And the presenters themselves get excited to see that it's not a real insular conference. Mm-hmm. If you go to a lot of conferences, you walk around with the name badge, and nobody really kicks you out if you're not wearing one. But there's a sense that this is just for people who have registered for the conference officially and have gotten the name badge. For us, we really try to make it open to students and to anyone coming in. We try to assign students to get something out of the conference that goes beyond just showing up for extra credit. So, like, I teach anthropology classes, and I'll actually have my students attend the symposium during class time that day. And they're not just, you know, checking the box to get extra credits. They're actually working on understanding key concepts in anthropology by attending the event. Like, one of the real interests these days is connection between anthropology and the heritage movement. So if they can actually talk to a master falconer and get a sense of how falconry is part of the history and the culture of an area and how it's connected to intangible cultural heritage, I think that that really makes it come alive for them, and they can see that we do have a master falconer in Jonesboro, Heath Garner, who'll be there, and he'll probably bring a peregrine falcon in as part of that. That if they get a chance to talk to Heath Garner and see how falconry is a part of this area and how there are people like that in the community, they can make that understanding of why heritage is interesting and how it relates to wider movements toward cultural preservation and how we've got a stake in it right here in our region.
And that's one of the things also that as we take a look at this, I know you want the public's invited to attend and that, and hopefully they can get that same understanding as well about, you know, how all of these things are kind of tied together in one, and also represented in one beautiful symposium that takes place. You know?
I think that works real well, because it's not so much that you would come and attend everything from Wednesday to Saturday night, and that's fine. We do have some people do that. That a lot of people will see just one or two programs that seem really interesting. They come and see that and get a lot out of it that way. So that's the way that I like to keep it open to the public. So yeah. A chance to meet some of the filmmakers and to really connect with things that interest them and to talk to other people, share similar interests. I think that's one of the things that a university should provide for bridging town-gown divisions and bring people in to make the university a good resource for the wider region itself.
22nd annual Delta Symposium, the theme once again representing cultural heritage. A complete list of all the things that are taking place will be on our website at kasu.org. You can check that out now, as a matter of fact, and that'll be up and ready to go for you. Dr. Gregory Hansen, so good to join us as well. Thank you so much for your time telling us about what's taking place with the Delta Symposium this year. Always a pleasure to have you in the studios. Thank you so much for your time, sir.
Well, you're welcome, Jonathan. Thank you very much.
And I'm Jonathan Reeves, reporting KASU News.